Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
We are learning that the last half of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 contains a pretty good description of Paul's philosophy of ministry. And there's really an awful lot for us to learn here. And in previous broadcasts, we've covered two-thirds of this section, but we still have the last one to go. But what do we have so far? Number one, Paul's purposeful volunteerism, where he talks about, though he has a right to receive financial support, he has chosen in most instances not to receive it, not to exercise that right, and he tells us why. Why he would prefer, in most cases, to do his work as a volunteer rather than to receive the financial support which is his right to receive. His purposeful volunteerism. The second section deals with Paul's purposeful flexibility. And here he talks about how he will adjust his procedures according to the people that he is reaching. So, for example, when he's ministering to Jews, he will observe the Mosaic dietary laws and other elements of the Old Covenant, because the people he's working with observe those. Is he required to do that as a New Covenant believer? No, he's been freed from that law, but he voluntarily becomes flexible enough to do that as a way of winning more people. And he gives other examples similar to that, and that, of course, is the section that contains that well-known phrase where Paul says, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And the all things is that he is willing to give up some pretty significant areas of personal liberty in order to reach the people that he's trying to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not what most people mean when they quote those words of the Apostle Paul. But now in the last several verses, we're going to learn about Paul's purposeful self-discipline. And we will take that up after I welcome you to this Friday, December 3 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And as I remind you that we are dependent upon the financial gifts of our radio listeners. Paul's purposeful self-discipline, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Paul takes a well-known illustration out of the sporting world. The games, the Isthmus Games, were performed in the city of Corinth every 2 years. And he's writing this epistle to the church at Corinth. And in foot races, there's only one winner. There's only one person who can come in first. There may be a second prize and a third prize, but there's only one first prize. One person can receive the prize, and only one. And Paul says Christians ought to go all out in their service for the Lord Jesus Christ. They should run like they are trying to take the prize, to take first place. Now, Paul is not saying that in service for Christ, only one person receives a reward. You can't press this illustration in every detail. But he's simply saying that to win that first prize takes an unusual amount of energy, of exertion, of determination, of self-discipline. And those who win the race are often the ones who are willing to exert themselves the hardest. And Christians ought to serve the Lord Jesus Christ the same way. Not half-heartedly, not at 50% capacity, not holding back in order to make things easier and more comfortable for ourselves. Christ deserves our best. Christ deserves our utmost, and we ought to give it to him. And Paul says, that's what I do. He's talking about his purposeful self-discipline. I go out all the way. I extend myself all the way. I go 100% in everything that I do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Exertion. Secondly, he talks about reward in verse 25. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Those who want to receive the reward, again, thinking in terms of an athletic contest, a race, for example, that he'd already mentioned in the previous verse, or some other sport, maybe it's a whole team trying to take first place, but those who are aspiring to win the prize must be highly disciplined. In the games that were held at Corinth every 2 years, the participants endured 10 months of intense supervised training, along with 10 months of a strict supervised diet. That was the plan. That was the way it was conducted. Nobody could start sooner than that. They all had to be on the same preparation schedule so that there would be a measure of equality. But during those 10 months, the person who wants to receive the prize has to deny himself many lawful pleasures, because winning requires discipline, even for great athletes. Sometimes people who have a lot of athletic ability think that they can just get by on their ability. They've got so much talent, so much strength, so much dexterity and so forth, that they can just outcompete others by their raw talent. Well, it's true that if you have a lot of raw talent, you are at an advantage over other people, but people who are involved in sports for any length of time soon learn that the winner isn't always the most talented. In fact, oftentimes is not. The winner is the one who is the most disciplined. I used to play a lot of sports when I was in high school and even in college to some degree. I loved it. And I learned what I'm talking about. I wasn't always the best, the most talented, but I learned I could get an edge over other people just by, for example, running some extra laps, just putting in some extra training that wasn't required, exerting myself a little bit harder than the other guy. Sometimes the most talented ones weren't the ones that would win. I observed that over and over again. It's the ones who were willing to deny themselves the most, the ones who were willing to discipline themselves the greatest. They are generally the ones who are the winners. Now, clearly, if you are a very clumsy person, you can be very disciplined and still not be a winner. So there's kind of a sliding scale of what we're talking about here, but it is true that the most talented is not always, and I might even say is not generally the one who comes in first, unless they are also willing to work very, very hard, not to simply coast on their talent, but rather to hone their talent, to focus their talent, to discipline their talent, to deny themselves of the things that other people can do. Suppose two people are getting ready to run a race, and the first one walks up to the line, and he's carrying a bottle of whiskey. And the coach comes up to him and says, "You can't run the race carrying that bottle of whiskey. That will slow you down." So he says, all right, I realize that's not a good idea, and whiskey's something I should leave alone anyway. And so he sets down the whiskey bottle, and he picks up a bottle of Coke. And he's going to run with that. Now, of course, it's a ridiculous illustration. And the coach says, wait a minute. You can't win the race carrying that bottle of Coke. It weighs as much as the bottle of whiskey. In fact, maybe even more. And the runner says, listen, nobody can tell me there's anything wrong with a Coke. If I want to have Coke once in a while, that's my right. I've got the freedom to do that. If I want to eat pizza every night, I've got the freedom to do that. Well, of course you do. Of course you do. It's not ungodly. It's not illegal. It's not unchristian to eat pizza and to drink Coca-Cola, though I would say that if you're interested in having good health, maybe you better leave that alone. But that's not the point as to whether you are allowed to do it or not. The point is, do you want to win the prize? Things that are legal and allowable are not wise, are not helpful. You have to be willing to deny yourself lawful pleasures if you are serious about winning the prize. And Paul says that in this life, people will discipline themselves to amazing extremes in order to win what? A perishable crown. Whereas some Christians won't discipline themselves in order to win an imperishable crown. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with our thinking? What's wrong with our devotion to the Savior? Isn't that what Paul is saying? And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or self-disciplined in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. You know what the prize was for those Corinthian games, very similar to the Olympic Games? It was a wreath, a garland made out of leaves, pine leaves or olive leaves or something like that. Just being able to be the one that was crowned with that in front of the crowd was the prize. What is that crown worth? Nothing. In a few days, it's going to be worthless. It's going to dry up. It's going to be nothing. It's not much to start with, and it'll be nothing in a very short time. It is a perishable crown, but Christians have the potential to win a crown, a prize, a reward that will never perish. It will last forever and ever and ever. Amen. And for that, we're not willing to discipline ourselves? What is wrong with us? Until next week, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.